It's the first Saturday of the month, and time once again for the National Story Project with novelist Paul Auster. He joins us from our New York bureau. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Lisa.
Well, this is an exciting time for us here at Weekend All Things Considered because, Paul, you've just published a book based on the National Story Project. These are all true stories sent in by our listeners. The book is called I Thought My Father Was God. And Paul, before I ask you more about the book, let me just tell our listeners that we have two guests joining us for this broadcast, two of our listeners and contributors to the National Story Project. So let me first say welcome to Mary Grace Dembeck of Westport, Connecticut. Mary Grace also joins us from our New York bureau. Hello, Mary Grace.
Hello.
And on the line from Williamstown, Massachusetts is Amini Roja, who will be joining us in just a moment. But let's start with Mary Grace. Paul, is this the first time you two have met right now?
Absolutely, the first time. We've exchanged some letters, but we have never talked in person and never seen each other until about 10 minutes ago.
Well, Mary Grace Dembeck, your story aired on our show back in March of 2000. Paul, why don't you tell me why you chose Mary Grace's story when it came across the transom there, and then maybe read an excerpt from it as well.
Well, I thought this was one of the most tender and moving stories that I received since the Story Project began. It's a beautiful little piece. In the spirit, really, of A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. I mean, the story is set in Brooklyn, back in, one would assume, around World War II. It's the story of a young girl, Mary Grace, whose father has recently died. Christmas comes, and the family is poor. They have no Christmas tree. It is really quite an extraordinary piece of writing. And I liked it so much, but Mary Grace wrote in her cover letter that the only way I could have permission to read the story was if I didn't change a word. Because this story was not written specifically for the Story Project, but a number of years ago. And apparently Mary Grace reads this out loud to her family every year at Christmas, and she didn't want anything altered. And I was impressed enough with the content and the style just to agree very willingly to this. So the family is walking home, the mother and the children, they're walking home after Christmas church, but they're passing the lighted windows of the other families in the neighborhood, and everyone's celebrating Christmas, and they're about to go home to a dark house. And little Mary Grace makes up a story about going to visit a friend of hers. The mother gives permission, and then suddenly she runs a long way off, five or six long avenue blocks, to where her father's store had been. It's all shut down now. And right next to the store, on the sidewalk, she finds a pile of unsold Christmas trees and decides to drag one of them home. And the story really is about how she gets this Christmas tree back to her house. And there's this beautiful paragraph towards the end, before she gets home, as she's dragging the tree through the streets. My soul was full of Christmas. I knew that Papa was mixed up in all of this somehow. I don't know if I ever felt closer to him than I did that night. It was as if he was in the stars above me, in every lighted window, in the very tree I was carrying. I don't recall if I met anyone along the way. I guess I must have, and if I did, I must have seemed an odd sight. A young child singing carols softly to herself, lugging a tree that was more than twice her size. But I know I wouldn't have cared what anyone thought. And then at that point, she gets into the house with the tree.
So, Mary Grace, you read this to your family every Christmas?
Yes, I do. And each time I read it, I start to cry. So do they.
I can believe it. It's a beautiful story. Now, what do you do in Connecticut, in Westport, Connecticut?
Oh, well, I'm an artist and a writer. And each one is warring with the other as to what I'm doing when I always think I should be doing the other. But well, I'm very glad to have both.
We're going to ask Amini Roja to join us now. She's on the line from Williamstown, Massachusetts. Hello, Amini.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Now, my understanding is that there's this great serendipity here. You were inspired to submit your story to the National Story Project after you heard Paul reading Mary Grace's story on the air.
Right, that's right.
Talk about an inspiration, huh?
It was. I mean, it was incredible, actually, and I didn't think I could match her story at all.
Well, Paul, what was it about Amini's story that you liked?
First of all, the elegance of the writing. I think this is one of the best written stories that I received. and also the sentiment. It's about listening to the radio, and it's about the program we were making all together at NPR. And I thought it was very deep and beautiful piece of work, and I use it as the last story in the book. This is the conclusion of the anthology, and it seems perfectly to round off this enormous collective effort.
And Amini, what mood were you in, what frame of mind when you heard that Mary Grace's story on the air and decided to write this one?
Well, I actually just happened to turn it on because I don't even usually listen on the weekend, but I heard Paul Auster's name, which is why I stayed, and then he was just beginning to read her story. And quite frankly, I thought, this is an incredible program, because I was very moved. But I also thought, I don't have anything that I could send to this program. So when I sat down to write the story, actually I started writing about radio just to try to get myself going, and I didn't even realize until I was setting it down how emotional I felt about it, actually.
Well, Paul, why don't you read an excerpt for us from Amini Roja's story?
Okay, this is the end. This is how the story concludes. Shivering, nervous, I turn on the radio for the first time in months. Paul Auster is reading a story about a girl who lost her father, who dragged a Christmas tree down the streets of a midnight Brooklyn. He is asking us for our stories. There are conditions that they be both brief and true. But I have no deaths, no travels worth repeating. I have no strokes of wild fortune or incredible tragedy. I have only an average sadness. Worse, I have been unable to write for weeks now, my mind riddled instead by imminent departures, imminent change. Then it strikes me. This moment is the friendly hand of solitude. The radio is inviting me back. Back to the rooms it will fill with its voice of warmest flannel. Back to the warm light of time spent alone. I have recognized the invitation only as I have written these lines. That is my story, complete with the climax that is now. Sometimes it is good fortune to be abandoned. While we are looking after our losses, ourselves may slip back inside.
Amini, how do you feel hearing that being read now? You must be in a different frame of mind.
I am, but it still gives me chills, actually, to think about sort of the number of coincidences that came up to it, and it still feels very immediate, actually, hearing that.
Well, you can all probably imagine that the National Story Project took on a life of its own. We've had thousands and thousands of submissions from all over the country. There have been stories of families, of war, objects, animals. And Paul, you chose about 180 of these stories, put them together in the book under various categories. Wasn't it hard to narrow down the 180?
It was terrible. I must say, it was one of the most agonizing things I had to go through. There were about 4,000 that came in the first year. And that was the pool I used to make the selection for the book. I would say I started with about 350 that I was considering, and then just started whittling down. Often there would be stories that touched on similar subjects, just coincidentally. They'd be about the same kind of thing. And then I'd try to decide which of those two or three was the best one, and then use that one for the book. But it was very, very tough.
And I guess now a big accomplishment.
Well, I feel good about it. I feel that what's in the book really does hold up very well. Quite an experience in its own right.
Well, thanks to all of you for joining us today. Mary Grace Dembeck of Westport, Connecticut, Amini Roja of Williamstown, Massachusetts, and Paul Auster. And Paul, you're going on the road with our colleague Jackie Leiden, and some of the National Story Project contributors will also be going on the road reading from their own stories.
Yes, well, we're planning to do a number of events around the country in five or six different cities in September and October. And at these various events, contributors from the project will come and read their own stories, and I'll get a chance to meet them, and I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to this.
So, folks, if you'd like to know where Paul Auster will be next and also learn how to submit a story yourself to the National Story Project, check out our website, www.npr.org. And for this evening, that's All Things Considered. Our show was directed by Tracy Wall, edited by Kitty Isley, and produced by John Buckley, with Devar Ardalan, Annie Wu, Rob Sachs, and Christine Peck. The senior producer is Walter Ray Watson. The technical director is Abdullah Rufus. And I'm Lisa Simeone. Good evening for Weekend All Things Considered and NPR News.